Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland. Thanks for coming back to my channel. And this is about the centenary of the Irish Boundary Commission's recommendations being leaked. So, in case you don't know, there was a conflict in Ireland, the first troubled times of the early 20th century, coming to a close with that 11th of July truce, 1921. Won't tell you everything. 6th of December that year, the treaty by which the major portion of Ireland, 26 counties, we seceded, the Irish Free State was established. Northern Ireland remained where it was within the United Kingdom. So Sinn Féin, meaning ourselves alone, the ultra-nationalist, anglophobic terrorist party, they wanted partition. They got it, but they didn't get what they wanted. They wanted down the middle of the Irish Sea. Now, all countries have boundaries. The border could be a maritime border, it could be a land border, end up being a land border. So the major portion of Ireland, 82% of the island, left the United Kingdom, but was still a dominion of the British Empire, and our king was still George V, then the title King of Ireland. But anyway, part of the treaty said there'd be a boundary commission to look at the border, because six counties remained within the United Kingdom. You can know that by the mnemonic Fat Dad, or Fat Lad if you prefer, Fermanagh, Antrim, Tyrone, Derry, Armagh, Down. You might prefer to say Londonderry rather than Derry, I don't mind. Anyhow, so that Boundary Commission met in 1921. The Irish Civil War was over. That was between nationalists and Republicans in Southern Ireland, as in those who accepted the treaty and the minority who didn't. So obviously, Sinn Féin had accepted partition by signing that treaty in 1921. Dáil Éireann, that's the parliament of Southern Ireland, accepted it again in 1922 by vote. Every single one of them was a Sinn Féiner. And then there was an election on the issue, and 75% of the votes were for the treaty. So accepted three times over. There's this racist trope I hear in Ireland a lot, perfidious Albion. Now, there are people guilty of perfidy who are English. That's definitely true. You get that in all nationalities, if the English are even a nationality. England's probably a province rather than a nation. But the same would be true of Ireland, Wales, Scotland. Anyhow, I believe in the oneness of the British Isles, despite recognising our diversity. But coming back to the Boundary Commission, so finally that met in 1925. And so they interviewed lots of people, and I've read the report, it wasn't published until 1969, to make sure as many people as happy as possible, that as many people in Northern Ireland were unionists, as in wanted to be within the United Kingdom, and as many people in the Irish Free State were nationalists, as in wanted to be in that state. So, okay. And so they suggested minor revisions. It was going to be an overall loss to Northern Ireland of 2% of its land, some of East Donegal joining Northern Ireland, otherwise some border areas going to the Irish Free State, as was. So it was leaked, and the Morning Post published it. Now, that was a newspaper that was too right-wing, even for my taste, one which said that the Amritsar massacre was the right thing to do. So some unionists said no, we can't do this. So Owen McNeill, he was a Northern nationalist, a professor of Irish from County Antrim, the Glens of Antrim, and he was Southern Ireland's representative, even though he's from the wee north. Indeed, he'd been head of the Irish Volunteers in 1916, but been against the rising. That's what it was about. It's an IRB cabal had taken over. Okay, and so someone from the government of Northern Ireland was appointed, someone from His Majesty's government was appointed, blah, blah, blah. I thought a South African judge was involved in the end as well. Okay, so then they discussed it, you know, November and December, right at the end. And eventually they decided that there'll be no changes to the border. And so, the Southern Ireland accepted that again. So this is just how dishonest, how treacherous successive Irish governments have been. I'm not remotely anti-Irish, anything where unusually dishonest. Obviously, there is some dishonesty amongst us. There's plenty of honesty as well. But I know politicians usually are mendacious. But accepting Northern Ireland's place in the United Kingdom repeatedly and then reneging on that, and even when Northern Ireland was twice publicly offered to the Irish state in the Second World War, both times declining, not even entering into negotiations, not even exploratory talks. Admittedly, that was with the proviso that Ireland would then proclaim war on das Dritte Reich. It didn't happen. So anyway, so Southern Ireland renounced Northern Ireland again in return for our share of the United Kingdom's national debt being written off, because that money was spent on us, you know, old age pensions or whatever, or, you know, free medical inspections and things like that, and schooling and soldiers' wages and military stuff. And obviously that was defending us, and the money went to our Irishmen who were in the army and so forth, so we didn't have to pay any of that. So that was it. So you see how two-faced successive nationalist governments are, rejecting even bits of Northern Ireland when it's offered. Anyway, Sir James Craig, later Lord Craigavon, he was happy that there were no changes to the border. But it would have made the unionist majority even higher had it happened. So it might have made Northern Ireland, you know, more workable, more defensible. So some people don't like that. Some nationalists said, well, no, we want a significant nationalist minority within Northern Ireland, because then it'll make Northern Ireland difficult, maybe unworkable. There'll be some possibility that it will come to the southern state, to a single Irish state. Although in those days, of course, we were within the Commonwealth. The treaty specifically said we're to have the same status as Canada. I think they put Canada because Canada was also bilingual. The Irish language, we weren't actually pushing that much in Southern Ireland in those days. Obviously a denomination, right? Because in Quebec, majority were Catholics, which doesn't matter remotely now, but it did in the 18th century, at the time when the United Kingdom conquered French Canada, and they were to have supremacy within their province and things like that. So Joseph R. Fisher was a unionist barrister and edited a newspaper, writer, and he was Northern Ireland's representative to the commission, and Justice Richard Feetham. He was meant to be South African, but he was born in the UK. So he's chair of the commission. And there was surprisingly a lot of goodwill about it. Yeah. And I read the report and saying, well, come on, 99% of those who are at this denomination could identify as whatever, nationalists or unionists. So Catholics overwhelmingly, nationalists, Protestants overwhelmingly, unionists and so forth. And so trying to be reflective of the wishes of the people. But they had to take into account some other practicalities. Farms were bisected by the border, or this is the town and the railway station the other side of the border. Well, can we have that? And of course, you can go back and forth across the border as much as you want. No passport inspections, but goods could be stopped and taxed. So this is a bit inconvenience. But that was all Sinn Féin's fault. There would have been no border, even in the Irish Sea, were it not for them. They were the ones who were divisive. They were the ones who set people at each other's throats. They were the ones, you know, trying to raise Cain to cause conflict with our kith and kin, the Welsh, the Scots, the English. And virtually everybody in Ireland back then had some Welsh, Scots, English ancestry. And, you know, most of us do even today, and so forth. The reason not that today is obviously we've got new Irish people, Nigerian Irish, Chinese Irish, Filipino Irish, Iranian Irish and so forth. And they accept they have the right to be in Ireland. I wouldn't object to them being president. Well, thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate to PayPal, georgecallant7@gmail.com. Goodbye.